Look at that, Morgan. Ooh, ooh la la.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening!
Sappening!
You are listening to episode 140 somehow of Sappening Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and oh snap, have we captured and developed some raw exposure into one of music's favourite filters on this episode.
Oh, you fucking absolute wanker. You massive wanker. Oh, I'm crying because, right, just in case anybody's joining us for the first time, number one, what the fuck are you doing? Go back and listen to loads of other episodes. I promise you, we've got guests you'd love. Number two, if you didn't know, Morgan does normally song title puns for whoever the guest is this week. But this week's guest is fantastic photographer and all-round good human, Paul Harries.
Yes, and what a legend he is. I think that's probably the most fitting word to describe him, if not one of the biggest names in alternative music photography over the last 30 years. His portfolio speaks for itself, not only becoming Kerrang! Magazine's resident cover star, but working with everyone, and I mean everyone, from Slipknot to Dua Lipa, Metallica, Green Day, Foo Fighters, Linkin Park, Aerosmith, Nirvana, Evanescence, My Chemical Romance, Motorhead, Mark Ronson, Lewis Capaldi. It is endless. The list goes on. And we were very lucky enough to take some of his precious time to dive into the world of music photography and the man behind the camera. But Sean, you've had the pleasure of joining this elite list of, what, models?
Well,
with Paul shooting a few of the Blackout's Kerrang! Covers. As an artist, how important is someone like Paul to the music industry and just his work in general?
Oh, very important, very important. I think a lot of people don't give photography enough credit. I genuinely believe that, like, sometimes it can make or break a band. If you have good enough photos, you can con people into thinking you're a professional band. Paul has been at the top of his game now for, like, 15 to 20 years. As you said, he's smashed it. He's been all sorts of genres. He's done all of the legends. Everybody likes him. Everybody seems to be friends with him. And, yeah, it's just... He was always fantastic to us, even when we were a little band and nobody gave a fuck about. And even towards the end, when we were a moderate-sized band and nobody gave a fuck about us, he was still super cool to us. So, I'm super chuffed that we could have Paul Harries on. Hopefully, this is the first of a couple of photographers we'll have on. Hopefully, I'd like to speak to several other people as well to get their opinions on stuff. But, this was a super interesting conversation. Getting to hear some of the stories Paul's had over the years from working with some of rock, metal, pop, life's biggest stars, I guess.
Yeah, literally. We're going to get to reminisce about all of that. And it means a lot to us because he doesn't do many interviews, especially long-form conversations like this. So we'll be getting an insight into everything from stories behind some of his most famous images to his special relationship with Slipknot, releasing a book with them in 2015 titled The Functional Family Portraits, just being in some bizarre situations and all the work he's done in lockdown with his new print shop that you can go and check out at paulharries.com.
Yes, check it out. There's some fucking fantastic shots. I notice there's no one of me on there. That's fine.
Shocking.
There's so many to choose from. I'm looking at them now and, yeah, what a fucking lineup. Brilliant. What a lineup and not me. Great. Is this the first person we've had on who's worked with Nirvana? I'm trying to think. Have we had any producers on or any? Who else have we had that could have potentially have worked with Nirvana? I don't know, but yes, Paul did, and you will hear about that story later on in the chat. Also, if you've got any questions, ideas, guest ideas, or you want to know anything, or just want to get in touch with us, check us out on Twitter and Instagram at SappeningPod. That's at SappeningPod. That's SappeningPod on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, and please head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sappening, if you've enjoyed this episode and want some extra sappening content throughout your week. But without any further ado, I think we should just go straight into this conversation with the wonderful Paul Harries. I once knew a guy who...
Here we go.
I once knew a guy who was a photographer, but he got arrested for stealing other people's pictures.
Go on.
I still think he was framed. I get a framed. Oh, he is the legend. That's Paul Harries on episode 140 of Sappening Podcast.
The last fucking episode of Sappening Podcast. Sappening. Fucking hell.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Sapnin!
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 Hey! Yes! Our guest this week is photography legend Paul Harries. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Yeah, how have you been keeping over this crazy mental period?
It has been a weird one, hasn't it? I've been keeping busy with my archive, really, sort of digitising quite a lot of the old stuff that was shot on film, finally getting around to doing some of that, and been doing little print giveaways as well, which has been keeping me busy. That's been nice.
Yeah, well, I'm sure like over the last kind of two decades and whatnot, you've taken so many photos that there must be so much in your archive you didn't even realize you had at one point. So is this kind of like last 18 months being an opportunity for you to dive back into that and find some rarities and maybe some outtakes you didn't even know you had?
Yeah, there's been a few bits and pieces, a couple of Slipknot shots that I forgot I'd taken, but that was nice to find. And it's mainly old live stuff, really, that I'd forgotten about. So,
well, we appreciate you taking the time because every now and again, we do like to have a kind of behind the scenes look at a different aspect of the music industry, not just getting another band on. And I think photography is something that so many music fans love with visuals and everything, but don't really get to know the story behind stuff. So just on the really basic level, how, when you're going to a shoot, do you have a kind of concept or an idea of what you want going into it? Or is it really depending on eye for detail and just what happens on the day?
It's every single job is different. Sometimes, especially obviously I do a lot of work for Kerrang. There will be maybe a certain concept to go along with the interview. If there's, you know, there's a particular story. And other times it's just get what you can, because some bands are a little bit more short for time, or not difficult, but maybe quite set on how they want to look.
Well, yeah, is there, there's got to be some bands that have been difficult, mind Paul. There's got to have been. Is there any, you don't have to name them, is there any you've hated working with?
No, not really.
Apart from the blackout,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Well, stupid accent.
Yeah, no. I find most rock bands are really easy to work with. Yeah, I've not really had any trouble.
I've always wanted to know, because, like, we've known each other for years and years and years, and but yeah, I've never really known your story of how you kind of got into it all and how it started, and what was your big break?
My big break was, I always used to go to see a band called Fields of the Nephilim, like a goth band. It's still going now. Probably one of my favourite bands. And I got to know the T-shirt guy. Anyway, I saw him. I bumped into him a little while after, and I had a camera with me, and he said, I didn't know you were a photographer. And he'd just started doing a fanzine called Helter Skelter. This is like late 80s, you know. And so I started doing some shots for his little fanzine, obviously just for the love of it, not getting any money or anything. But he then called me and said, my friend at Kerrang needs a shoot. Some want to do a shoot. They haven't got any photographers available. Would you be interested? So I immediately said yes, got in there, did that job, kept my foot in the door, and that was kind of how my career started at Kerrang.
Wow.
So I was very lucky. Because this is what happens. A lot of people ask, how did you get into it? And every music photographer I know has got a different story.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, that's kind of why we ask it, really, to be honest. Because it's like, with other bands we've had on as well, like, you know, we're just interested in personal stories. And I guess you've seen some mad stuff. Let's just, I'm going to rail off. Is that the right word? Reel off. No, not rail off. That sounds terrible. I'm going to reel off some of the bands you've worked with. Well, just what's on this page here. And it's incredible. Just for the listeners, obviously you mentioned Slipknot, Linkin Park, Nick Cave, 30 Seconds to Mars, AC/DC, Aerosmith, Avenged Sevenfold, Blink-182, Courtney Love, Metallica, Motorhead. Like, it just goes on and on. Is there anyone that you really loved working with? Is there anyone that you'd say that you've created a friendship with?
I think it's Slipknot, really. I was really lucky to shoot them really early on. I did their first Kerrang cover in late 99. And when they came to the UK a little while after, we went to America to do that. And then when they came to the UK to play some shows, I saw them again. And they were really pleased with the photos. And Joey said to me, you get us. You get what we're about. And I was kind of welcomed into their kind of inner circle. Well, not you know, not like I was one of the band or anything, but, you know, they trusted me. And it's obviously gone on from there, really.
Nice. Number 10, Paul Harries.
I do have my own mask that I have to put on for the shoots. So.
Oh.
I'll never show it, though.
Oh.
There's people, people going to be listening to this trying to, like, work out what the hell that would look like. But if we're talking about Slipknot, I really wanted to dive into that relationship with you and the band, because obviously, you know, you've released a book with them, you've had various kind of exhibitions and stuff over the years, and that does seem to be that extra level of trust between you and them, who are especially bands who are often quite reserved and play on the kind of mystique and everything over the years. What is it that you think kind of broke down those barriers where they could trust you and go to you as their kind of photographer to do major projects like that, and know that, you know, they can have that trust?
I think when I did that first shoot with them, the cover that we did was, we just had the masks on the floor. We sort of arranged them, and I did that with Clown. We kind of did that all together. And Clown's really the one who's in charge of the visual side of things. Well, at least that's the impression I get anyway. So I think it's a lot of it is down to Clown. But most of the jobs that I've done with Slipknot, they've all been sort of Kerrang shoots. I've not really done anything directly for the band before. You know, they're in America, I'm here, so it's usually when it's a Kerrang sort of thing.
Who was your first big shoot that you did? And how was getting that?
I kind of did a thing with Lemmy when it was for Kerrang. And it was when Lemmy was going to go to, I think he'd announced it, he was going to go and live in LA. So there was like this goodbye press conference thing at the Borderline. So I did some stuff with him. Yeah, I think once I was in with Kerrang, this sort of just threw me in there, really. So,
did you see any mad stuff around Lemmy?
No, not really. There are a couple of topless models there, which obviously, looking back on that, it's a bit dodgy. But at the time, it didn't seem it. You know?
Yeah, well, that's it. I was going to say, it's just like the Blackout then, you know us. We were constantly wandering around with topless models with us.
Oh, that's just Gavin. That's just Gavin. No, but like as Sean mentioned, when you look at your kind of portfolio, there's so many like iconic acts over the years. And I think a lot of music fans will look at that as a kind of dream from people you've worked with, from Red Hot Chili Peppers to My Chemical Romance. And you've been lucky enough to travel the world doing your job and what you love as well. And I'm sure this last 18 months, as I mentioned, you've been able to kind of reflect on a lot of things. So when you do have that kind of time to look back at your career, what kind of moments stick out for you? Is there any kind of just pinch me things where you're like, how have I managed to get here? How am I on Iron Maiden's tour bus? How am I being able to do all these things for such a long period of time?
It's kind of weird, really, because, you know, I would get probably quite nervous about being given the responsibility of flying somewhere and sort of thinking, I hope this all goes okay. I hope the pictures come out how I want them to. And, but after a while, that sort of just became the norm. And then to be put in front of some of these bands, I think it probably helped if it was a band that I wasn't majorly into, say. If it was a band I was really into, I would get very nervous. If it was I remember once the guys from Motley Crue came into the office and I did some pictures. It was, I think it was Nikki Sixx and Mick Mars came in. Don't mind Motley Crue, but I'm not really a massive fan, so it didn't really mean a lot. So it's quite easy to sort of order them around and go, oh, can you do this? Can you do that? But if it's someone you really like, you kind of get a little bit more, oh, God, I don't know what to do. And it's that was, you know, back in the early days anyway.
Yeah, who did you have that with then? Who were you nervous working with?
I was a really big Marillion fan when I was younger. And then once when I got to do a shoot with Fish, the original singer, that was really weird for me because I'd been to see them as a teenager and, you know, they played Hammersmith Odeon, as it was called then. And I went like four nights out of six to go and see them. So to actually be face-to-face with him and do a proper shoot, that was really strange.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, let's dive into the aspects of doing a photo shoot, because as I mentioned, a lot of people just see these kind of posters or covers of Kerrang and not know how things get put together. So you mentioned when doing stuff that maybe there's a concept or something that goes into an interview. What is your first kind of job getting on site? Obviously, you're setting up and stuff, but I mean, how do you make sure you have that vision come to fruition?
Look, as I said before, every job's different, really. It's like, so for instance, I did the recent Kerrang cover with Bullet for My Valentine at Download Pilot. And the brief was, we just want it to make it look like it's at Download. So I had to get there and scope it all out. And we found an area behind the stage where I could shoot from that the background, you could tell it was definitely the download sort of stage, even though it was from behind. So it was just kind of fulfilling that part of the brief, really. But yeah, it would be do that and then get my lighting ready, make sure everybody knows where they've got to be. Because, you know, Sean knows, it's bands are like trying to control frogs or whatever. They just go off in different directions.
I was going to say five puppies, but yeah, 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 that's right, yeah.
You know,
hey boy, come on, get back in, get back in.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, probably the most valuable person is to have the PR with you, who can go and round everyone up and make sure everyone knows what they're doing. I think they're the unsung heroes, really, of the music the music press.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. The amount of kind of babysitting they kind of need to do and make sure everyone's there is uncanny. But Sean mentioned there, obviously, you've done a few shoots of the Blackout back in the day. I think it'd be quite fun to kind of reminisce a few of them if we can.
Oh,
what did we do? We did that television program, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember what that was called now.
No.
It was on ITV2, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, no.
It was about 9 years ago.
Yeah. We did. I remember us doing a shoot where you had me hanging upside down or something as well.
Oh, we had. Yeah, we had the. That was at Holborn Studios, I think. And we had like one of the steel bar.
Yeah, it looked like some sort of scaffolding.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember being upside down like a bat.
I remember that not being my idea. I remember that being the magazine's idea.
So. That's about right, yeah. What can we do to make... Well, that twat will go upside down on command. All right, cool. Let's get that twat to go upside down.
And then we had to do that Halloween one, didn't we, in the woods with the masks and stuff. Oh, that was all very strange.
Yeah, and with runners. Yeah, that's the thing, because people see these glamorous shots in Kerrang and they're like, oh, that's cool, they did this Halloween one. They don't realise that was us six and Paul, up in a mountain in Caerphilly with it freezing cold, with runners running past us being absolutely terrified because we're there with like horror shit and blood on us and stuff like that. And yeah, people don't realise sometimes how unluxurious shoots are, I think.
Well, I think it was a bit cold as well, wasn't it? I think, yeah, well, it would have been if it was Halloween. We were probably doing it early October.
Yeah, mad.
So with that, would you say it's sometimes not always about getting the best maybe photo you can, but something capturing something a little bit different that shows your kind of band or art or anything like that in a new light? Because I'm sure you've had loads of kind of things like that pop up in the past.
What you mean, sort of like putting a creative spin on?
Yeah, yeah, because obviously a lot of your work as well, you've got some great shots of intimate moments with bands behind the scenes, like, for example, Metallica coming off stage or Slipknot hugging, and people, you know, don't normally get to see that. So it might not be a perfect photo in terms of positioning and angles and stuff, but it's captured a rare moment that no one else is seeing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, we see a lot more of that now with people or bands posting on their own Instagrams, but probably 20 years ago, we were the guys that were getting those shots when we were doing like, on the road features and catching those sort of moments. And looking back on those, especially with someone like, say, Chester Bennington or whatever, you kind of maybe had a picture and think, oh, that's all right. It's quite a nice picture of a guy sitting backstage. But then when you look at them now, it's like, oh, wow, that was, you know, him being himself there. He wasn't performing. He was just having a sit down and a laugh. Or I've got pictures of Chester Bennington playing table football while they were waiting to do an interview.
Oh, wow.
MTV interview, I think it was. And we were just sort of hanging out. And I think he was playing with one of the other guys in the band. But yeah, he's sort of, and he's laughing and all this sort of thing. And yeah, those, especially if someone has died and you look at an old picture of them, they sort of take on a bit of a new meaning, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was looking at like your Soundgarden photos, the Prodigy ones, the Nirvana ones, and yeah, they're just amazing moments in time that are just, you've just captured. And that's, you know, whether you know, I don't know how you feel about it, but to a lot of people who are fans of those, these are really important moments as well in time. So, yeah, these are, yeah, beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Well, I mean, there was when Chester did pass away, I had a message from Kerrang saying, look, you know, can you have a look through your archives? Let us know what you've got, because this has happened and we need to put it on the cover. And the cover we ran was a shot of Chester with his hands over his face. So you could see the flame tattoos on his wrists, and he was just sort of looking through his fingers. And it was a shot that was completely passed over at the time. But then looking at it after what happened, it's like, oh, wow, that's got to be the shot.
Yeah, it's crazy how things like that, like, it's, I guess, everything with kind of stuff like with Chester, like, if you listen to the lyrics, like, he was kind of telling us all along about how he was feeling and stuff. And then, you know, when you look back through photos, now you can probably, in hindsight, you're like, oh, perhaps he was seriously depressed that day, or, yeah, looked a bit down, or, yeah, it's just, I just find it mad. I just find it crazy that these are, like, just still moments in time where anything could have been running through people's heads or whatever, and it's crazy to me. Sorry, I just went off on one of them.
Yeah, no, but is there anyone that comes to mind where you feel that maybe you've been able to contribute a bit more to, and who have kind of connected with you, that you've gone out on tour so much and helped them capture those iconic moments?
Nothing really springs to mind. I mean, you know, I like to let bands be who they are. I don't like to sort of try and mold them to be something they're not, because it usually backfires. And, you know, there's been a few photo concepts over the years, and it's just not right for the band. So I don't know, really.
Can you share any of those concepts where, I don't know, you know, somebody thought it was a good idea, or?
Well, there was one time that I was asked to do some pictures of Royal Blood, and they were quite new, a new band at the time. And I was asked to take pictures of them with, you know, the picture of Jack Nicholson with the magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Where he's kind of, you know, and I think I've seen Marilyn Manson's done that and Dave Grohl. And purely for that reason, I didn't really want to do that idea again because it had been done. But I also said to the magazine at the time, it's like, they're not recognizable enough to do that yet. But they were quite insistent that I did it, and it didn't work. It just didn't work for them. So, I mean, we didn't use those pictures in the end.
Yeah. If you had to try and convince the band to dress up in some weird outfit, because that's kind of the brief someone's wanted, like if you had to get, I don't know, Iron Maiden in a 80s disco outfit or something.
I did a shoot with the Dillinger Escape Plan where they were naked.
Oh.
And they were doing the... you know, the Austin Powers, where everything's being covered up. There were like lots of household utensils that were being used to cover them. And the band were under the impression that they'd been told that if they didn't do this, they wouldn't get the coverage. And it was nothing to do with me at the time. I was just told, we're doing this. And, they did it, but I've heard since that they weren't exactly happy about doing it.
Were they, use the pervert in me, I suppose, were they all Billy Bollock naked, or did they sock
up? Yeah, they did it, yeah.
Well done, Dillinger. Of course they fucking did it, man. Mad bastards.
On that line, though, like, obviously we've mentioned that most of our portfolio is massive iconic figures, and I'm sure a lot of them are known for having a kind of signature pose or a certain facial expression. For example, like Ozzy Osbourne laughing madly is something people like to use, and it always comes to mind. But is there anything you do to try and get them to going to a different direction, try something new? Because I'm sure a lot of these people are natural. They've done photo shoots all their lives. They're up for the ideas, but there must be a few people who are quite nervous, quite shy, and their body language might be as open.
Yeah, it never really works. If you try and get someone to be more animated than they would normally be, it always comes across as looking really awkward. And then, you know, trying to get people to go, it's easier to get people to go the other way. It's easier to say, well, look, you know, just let's calm it down and make it look a little bit more serious this time. But yeah, to try and get some sort of scream or leaping towards camera. If you're either into that or you're not, really. So it's quite difficult to try and convince someone to be something they're not. You know, the Blackout were easy. They'd do anything.
Yeah. What? Any sort of coverage? Fucking right. Yeah. What? Yeah. Chop my own head off for coverage. Cha-ching! Yeah. Off it goes. Yeah. 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 Well, it's but that's just desperation, Paul. I don't think that was... that wasn't nice personalities. That was, oh, please, like us. Yeah. Have you ever... Here's a question. Have you ever had to edit cocaine out of anybody's nose?
No.
Oh. Oh,
boo.
Sorry. No.
Who would you say are people who just like kind of ooze out charisma, though?
Oh, it's probably, you know, people like Ozzy and Metallica, people that have been doing it for a long time. They just know what to do. You know, the Chili Peppers are, you might not get along with them, but they're very easy. They know what they're doing. Rammstein are kind of weird.
Yeah.
Oh, in what way?
Yeah. I think it's possibly, I mean, they're very German, I suppose. And I remember at the end of the shoot that I'd done with them, I wasn't sure how it had gone because I really wasn't getting much from them, like as in feedback. They would do everything I asked them to do. But Paul in the band said to me afterwards, oh, that was good. We really enjoyed that. I'm like,
nice. Well, let your fucking faces know, and Rammstein. Let me know. Fucking hell. What a crazy band, yeah. I'd imagine they would be a bit... Well, that's the thing. Like, what we've spoken a couple of times on here about people talking about, like, German reviewers and how, like, they're just so blunt. Like, I was... we were on tour with Funeral for a Friend, and I was watching Matt, the singer, do an interview with a German publication, and they said to him, so, your new album, do you like it? And he said, yeah, I love it. And the guy said, what? Really? That's how a lot of them are. They're just strangely blunt. I don't think they mean anything by it, but it's just...
Yeah. I can't remember what band said this to me, but they said they were doing an interview. It may not even be a German, I'd been just a foreign journalist, but they basically just turned the tape recorder on and went, Sol, talk.
Oh, oh hello. fuck.
Yeah. Oh, there we go, Sean. We'll use that from now on. We'll just...
Something. We're here with Paul Harris. Paul, talk. Right, thank you very much, Paul. That was the end of this week's episode. That's fucking brilliant. Do you know what? This Germans are so efficient that that would be a perfect podcast, wouldn't it? Brilliant. I need to say as little as possible. Something. Talk. That's fucking... Oh, God. God bless the Germans.
Yeah, literally. But on the flip side of working with all these people as well, you know, you mentioned that with all these Kerrang covers especially, you get to work with the kind of new generation of bands who are up and coming, making a lot of noise and have a lot of buzz around them. I know just lately at the time of recording, you've done Employed to Serve, Loathe and Don Broco. On some aspects, is working with new bands like that quite exciting for you because there's a kind of new buzz around it and they're up to new ideas and you can try different things?
Yeah, definitely. Loathe are really cool to work with because, you know, I could get quite creative with that one, with lighting, and we did some nice long exposures and all that sort of thing with that shoot. And it really seemed to suit the band well. And what did we do with Don Broco? We just did Kerrang just said to me, make it colourful. So loads of different colour paper backdrops with that one, and we just went crazy ripping them all up and everything. And yeah, Employed to Serve, that was more that shoot was kind of based more on what the album cover is going to look like for the new album. So we kind of stuck with the colours with that to sort of guide the shoot, really.
With that then, that's an interesting point. Is it quite harder or easier in many aspects where a band have such a aesthetic or a fashion sense that maybe you have to go around their certain rules or what they're trying to portray? Because, like, for example, My Chemical Romance, you've done so much with them, and to me, they're the ultimate fashion band going from different aesthetics album to album. So is it, when working with them, is that easier because you kind of know what you need to do? You know you need to do something like the Black Parade, or you need to do something like Danger Days, or does it create more problems because you're limited?
Well, both shoots that I've done with them for those different album cycles, they just happen to have those costumes with them, you know, so that made life quite easy. When I did shoot Black Parade, the manager was there and he was quite insistent that I only shoot them from the waist up because they didn't actually have the correct trousers.
Oh,
nice. Wait here. I've got a police photo. I've got a police photo. This Black Parade one now. So, yeah.
Oh, you can't see their legs.
Yeah, I love the idea. Like, they all just turned up with, like, pink shorts on. Like, oh, we've got a top. Yeah. I got the makeup. I can be as pale as you want, but please leave the board shorts out of this.
Yeah, they were wearing shorts and Crocs.
Yeah. Crocmans. Nice. Good on them.
I mean, no, they did actually have black trousers on, but and it wouldn't have made any difference, but he was quite adamant about it. So
What are My Chemical Romance like to work with, though? Because I know in fact they love working with you over the years, and they always share kind of photos and memories of your work together.
Yeah, they're lovely. They're really nice. Gerard was really cool. I did some nice stuff with him when he did his solo project. And that was quite nice just to spend a bit of time with him on his own. Yeah, they're super lovely, all of them.
Yeah, I've got a couple of them I want to add to this. I want to know where... So I've had a couple of run-ins with Jared Leto. And he's a strange one. How was he? Because he seems in the photos like he's up for everything, and the photos you've got of him are classic photos of him that we probably all remember from back then. Yeah, was he ever difficult to work with? Have you ever shook his hand?
Ooh.
I've shaken his hand.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a strange guy. He's quite, I mean, he's from the film world, isn't he? So
yeah.
He's quite interested to see what lighting, what's going on, and he's quite hands-on with all that sort of thing. He only likes to be shot from one side as well.
Well, that's what I was noticing here now. He's always saying,
hey, it's always left hand side. Yeah. Yeah.
What's that then? Is it, what's he got on the right hand side, or we don't know about?
I don't know. I was actually taking some pictures of him once when he was being interviewed. So they were just sort of like fly on the wall shots of the interview happening. And as I was moving around the room, he could see me and he was moving his head. So I couldn't get, it was quite strange.
Unbelievable. Good looking work from Jack. Imagine being so good looking, right? Even just on one side of your face, right? I'd love to be as good looking on one side of my face as him. I would literally fucking be showing it off constantly. Like, what a fucking cracking head. What a bonkers fella, though.
Yeah, he's nice. He's all right, though. He's okay.
Oh, yeah, he was lovely to me, but he's just...
Yeah.
He was gloved up. He wouldn't shake our hands. He hugged me, which was weird. And then, another time I saw him doing Tai Chi in an airport after we came off Soundwave Festival, and he was, like, wearing all white.
And
Zoc de la Roche and Robert the Zombie were laughing at him. It was very strange. You've worked with Robert the Zombie as well, I've noticed. Was he dusty? I'd imagine he comes dusty.
Yeah, no, he's all right. I actually went, first time I properly worked with him, I went to Canada to do a shoot, and I turned up and they had no idea I was coming. I had to kind of flag my way in.
Oh. that's a new one.
And because of the time difference, there was no one in the UK they could call because it was sort of an hour before the show or something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, were they trying to phone Kerrang to be like, is this fella real?
Yeah, well, kind of, yeah. Yeah. It was, I don't know what had happened.
But in the end, he was just like, coming in. Right, I got to get covered in sand. I got to go on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And, my last one that I definitely need to know about is The Tap. You've shot Spinal Tap.
I have, yeah.
How did that come about? How was that? Were they fun?
They were really funny. That was when they were here for... It was an Amnesty International birthday celebration. So it was early 90s. And the first... I did them twice, actually. First time I did it was just Derek and David. and they were really funny, and we got everyone else involved. There was Jonathan Ross was there, and he got involved in some pitches, and you know, Derek Smalls was putting a banana down his yeah. And they were really good fun. And then they came back when I think, because they had an album come out shortly after, and all three of them came back then, and I did some more stuff with them.
Nice. Any ego at all with them, or were they just, did they stay in character the full time?
Ooh.
Pretty much, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, I blame
you. Oh, wow. But it must be cool sometimes just to look back at your portfolio. I know we've mentioned it a few times, but like, I know, for example, there's a lot of gothic rock bands like Evanescence, Him, and all those who fan base absolutely adore any little shot, anything that comes out from them.
Anything I put on Instagram of either of those two just goes nuts.
have you had just kind of weird like interactions with their fans off that?
No, actually, do you know, most people are really cool, and they're really cool. I mean, the nice thing is that they sort of repost my work, and obviously gives me more and more followers on Instagram, which is nice.
Yeah, those two bands in particular have got such a cult following. It's incredible.
Oh yeah, especially the Him fans. Mm. They're not crazy, but they're crazy in love with him, you know.
Yeah,
there's a lot of interest on, and they keep asking me if I know what's going on, and I haven't spoken to him for about 3 years, so I don't know.
Well, you know, you never know. We might need to take some photos or something, so they probably.
Well, hopefully, I mean, you know, when we'll start flying again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of flying, you know, you've alluded it there, but you've traveled like so many different places for shoots and going to people's houses and whatnot. Where's the craziest place you'd say, or situation you've ended up in for a photo shoot, or just having to work?
Well, I mean, going to Australia with Slipknot, that was really cool. Trying to think where else. I went to Japan with him. We did like some locking on the road thing in Japan. That was really nice being in Tokyo. We stayed at the hotel. Oh, what's the film called with Scarlett Johansson? Lost in Translation. We stayed at that hotel, so that was really cool. I'm trying to think of anywhere really weird that I've ended up.
Any weird houses? Anyone got like some crazy things on the wall you just didn't expect?
No, I did a thing with you know that band I Hate God?
Yeah,
did some stuff with them in New Orleans, and we ended up going to some witch, like a voodoo witch sort of thing.
As you do.
That was all really strange. But she was like, no, you can't take any photos here. So it was like, oh, okay.
Right, yeah. Oh, it's cracking. I'm here for nothing then, love. Cheers.
There were
lots of caged chickens and stuff like that going. It was all a bit weird.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah.
I just love that. Yeah, I love just being in finding yourself in situations you would not expect.
I was expecting you to say somebody like you went to, I don't know, Ozzy Osbourne's house or something, and it was mental, or a flat. A flat he's got in Birmingham. Oh, imagine if Ozzy had a flat. That'd be class.
Oh, for sure.
Do you have a favourite shot?
Ooh,
yes, I do. It's one of Corey Taylor, and it's of him in the cornfield on his own. And that picture kind of happened by, well, not accident, but I was ready to take a shot of the whole band there, and Sid had been injured because it was a. I was there for the Psychosocial video shoot. So they were waiting for it to get dark. So I had a bit of time with the band before it got properly dark. But Sid had gone missing and he'd cut his head open. So he was at A&E getting his head sewn back up.
What?
So I just said to Corey, can I just get you there so we can get some pictures just before the sun goes down? And he came out. And I'm glad that it was just him, because that ended up being probably my most favourite picture I've ever taken.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I was just looking at Slipknot ones now, and I remember distinctly seeing that one you've got of Sid diving.
Mm-hmm.
I literally remember seeing that and going, what the fuck is this? I need to see this band now.
Is that the one, is that the one at a festival? Or oh, yeah, that was the Kerrang show, yeah, yeah. That was Christmas 99, it was.
I literally remember seeing that going, what, I just not being able to understand, like, where's so many questions. What's going on? Where's he come from? Where's he going? Who's going to catch him? Did people catch it? Like, I was just like, what the fuck is this? Amazing.
That was amazing. That was probably one of the most amazing gigs I've ever been to, that one. There was such a weird expectation of, you know, there was a real buzz around Slipknot. They'd never been to the UK before. There was no support band. It was just them. And you just feel the excitement in the room with everyone waiting for them to come on.
Where is it? Is it?
Astoria.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Of course I don't recognise it. We went in twice.
But when you're shooting live performances as well, and especially as an energetic live band like that, I'm sure you've just got to be like on alert for random things happening like that. Someone jumping, someone doing something crazy that you don't want to miss.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of luck involved with some of that, you know, because, you know, the amount of times I've been at one side of the stage focusing on one member of the band, and then it's like something's happened over the other side and you think, oh God, I missed that. And bloody him from the other magazine got it. But you know, it happens. You can't be in two places at once. You know, so also it can happen. You get stage access with a band and you think, oh, you can, sometimes you're on stage thinking, oh, I've got great access here. But if I'd been at the front, I'd have got something else that was amazing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it's just right place, right time for a lot of those shots. But one that comes to my mind is that when you have Frank Iero at Download Festival 2007, where he's laying on his back, playing guitar, and the crowd at the back of him is just a lovely image to capture.
Yeah, that was really cool, that was. And you can see the Dunlop arch. I think it might be a bridge, actually, over the track, because it was the Download stage and it was in the old position. But yeah, that was really cool. Again, you know, just fortunate to be allowed up there to do it.
Who's the craziest band live that you've had to go, oh, right, I really need to be all over the place now for a shot like this?
Jesus. Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, what?
I mean, that was just ridiculous. I soaked in my skin and it was horrible, in that horrible Faygo stuff.
Covered in sticky pop. Why did they think that was a fucking good... Who thought... I tell you what, I'll bring it a pop and we'll just throw it on each other.
Oh, no.
Mental. Did you get to spend any time with them? How are those two?
Yeah, I did a couple of shoots with them. They were all right.
They seem interesting figures from what I've seen online.
Well, I mean, you know, most bands that want to dress up are pretty good to photograph. You know, they might show off, don't they?
Do you have any Kurt Cobain stories?
Well, got a couple. There's a good and a bad side to the Kurt Cobain stories, really. Cause the first time I met him, it was a bit of a disaster, really. He was in a really weird mood and didn't want to. He was giving one word answers to the interview that was being done. Did the pictures with me, and he wouldn't look at the camera. And I asked him to look at the camera, and he went, "I don't want to." And it was all very, very odd. And it was very early days for Nirvana then as well. I think they just played the Astoria the night before. So it was 1991. And then I actually couldn't listen to the record for a long time after that. It just really ruined it for me. And a few years later, the Buzzcocks were supporting Nirvana. This would have been sort of 94. They took the Buzzcocks out on tour with them because he was a big fan of the Buzzcocks, and the Buzzcocks took us out on the road for a couple of days to sort of do this thing. And anyway, we asked Kurt Cobain if he would talk to us about the Buzzcocks, and he was more than happy to, and he was absolutely lovely.
Ah, nice. Right.
It's weird, but I mean, obviously, that was quite close to when it all happened with him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting hearing those kind of two sides to someone like that. But I do get that kind of feeling that Kurt hated that kind of press and just trying to... All the other things that came with being in the band rather than just writing songs and playing live.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously know a lot more about him now than I did at the time. And I was just in my early 20s myself. So it's like, oh, this guy in the band is not very nice. Most people are, you know, really cool. But anyway, you know.
Yeah, so you'd say people who like have that kind of image of makeup and masks and stuff like that are normally the ones that are up for more kind of ideas. Well,
they've kind of got to be, really.
Yeah,
haven't they?
Otherwise, they put that effort in, haven't they? So they might as well.
I think that's the kind of music that I've always been drawn to anyway. I mean, when I was growing up, it was all about Adam and the Ants for me. All that sort of visual type of thing and Toya and all that sort of thing. I loved all that when I was growing up.
Yeah, and Andy Biersack's got to be one of your favourite people to shoot as well.
Yeah, he's really cool, and obviously, you know, he really cares about what he looks like, and yeah, he's, well, all the band are nice, actually. All about Valbrides.
Well, you've mentioned Slipknot quite a bit. I know we touched on them earlier, but can you tell us a little bit more about the book you released a few years ago?
Yeah, I did an exhibition on them. I asked their manager if it was cool if I did it, because they were coming to the UK to play Sonisphere. And I'd already done an exhibition with some friends of mine, and when I was trying to pick the pictures, I did think to myself, I could just do a Slipknot exhibition, the amount of shots I've got. And I asked the manager if I could, and he said, yeah, by all means, do it. And then few of them came to the sort of opening night, which was really nice of them. And it was mentioned in conversation with the manager about doing a book, and he went, yeah, I think you should do it, Paul. So I had full support from the band, which was great. Got some quotes in there from them as well. And yeah, then it came out in 2015. It was going to come out a little bit before, and then they did the Grey Chapter album, and I was going to be getting new pictures, and I thought, well, it should be as up to date as possible. So we sort of put the book off a little bit so I could get those pictures in.
Nice. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, well, thank you for that. But is there any other kind of exhibitions or books or anything down the line that you've had the idea of maybe wanting to do again?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely love to do another exhibition at some point. I mean, obviously it's been a bit difficult the last few years. The last one I did was about 4 years ago. So it's definitely time to put another little collection together.
Yeah. Any ideas gone through your head that maybe you can tell us about or what it could be?
It'd be nice to do something of the sort of more behind the scenes, sort of behind the scenes and unseen images, I think. I found some really nice pictures of Ozzy Osbourne recently. I did like a studio shoot with him in London, but I just took some sort of fly on the wall shots of him in the dressing room. And they're really nice pictures, you know, that no one's ever seen before. It's just, you know, again, it's not Ozzy doing his crazy faces. It's just Ozzy being Ozzy. So, yeah, there's a few bits and pieces like that that would be good to put together. It's time consuming. That's the only thing.
Yeah, you know, I can imagine. But as you've mentioned over this last year, especially, you've been able to update your print shop a lot with these with these new photos. I know you're always kind of doing giveaways and deals and stuff with it all. Feel free to tell us about it, plug it away. It sounds super interesting. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who will want to go and check out and have
they definitely
know
should
home
they
decor.
100% should.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's sort of the idea sort of came for the giveaways was last March. I'd thought about doing something like that just to sort of get. I saw an artist had done some giveaways, and I thought, why has he done that? Why has he done a giveaway? And I sort of looked at it, and I thought, actually, it's quite a nice thing to do, and sort of build up a bit more of an audience and that sort of thing. So I did a giveaway in March, and it just sort of happened that was the first time we went into lockdown. And I got so much feedback from people saying, oh, this has really cheered me up. This is that, you know, it's really made me happy. Thank you so much. So I thought, I'll do one next month. And then I kept, like, the first one I did was Slipknot. And then can't remember, the second one was possibly Chester Bennington or Ville Valo. They were very popular. So I just thought, well, I'll just keep doing this every month. Everyone seems to really enjoy it. And I had so many people thanking me and telling me that it's got them out of a dark period or whatever, just by getting an A4 print from me. I just carried on doing it, really. And also, it's a nice way to get people to visit my website and have a look around and see what else is there, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just about to mention. Yeah, everybody check out paulharries.com. That's PAULHARRIES.com. There's, I guess, hundreds. There's got to be hundreds of prints available. And I guarantee you he shot your favourite artist at some point. Here's a question. What's your best-selling photo?
Oh, yeah.
It is, let me think. I would say it is a shot of Ville Valo with smoke coming out of his mouth.
Ooh.
It's a black and white shot. And that's been very, very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He does look very attractive. But fair play to him. Good Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not even fussed on him, and I might buy that.
I was going to say, Sean's just added that to his cart straight away.
Maybe if you weird in my belly, that would
Yeah, that just shows the determination by those him fans as well. I think that's something that a lot of them will have up in their homes.
Yeah, I mean, that picture has been in Kerrang at least twice, I think, as a poster, once in a feature and then again as a poster. And but people want a big version of it on really nice paper, and yeah.
Other than that, maybe that photo, is there, do you think, a shot that people say, oh, that's Paul Harries?
I think some of the early Slipknot stuff, definitely. There's the picture of them in like a kid's playground. I know a lot of people have spoken to me about that one, just saying that they had that poster on their wall from Kerrang when they were first into Slipknot.
But yeah, everybody needs to check out paulharries.com. Where can they follow you online? On Instagram, Twitter and stuff?
Just at Paul Harries on Instagram. I mean, that's where I try and post something every day on Instagram, sometimes twice a day, depends how I feel. But yeah, I try and put a lot up there. I enjoy Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer Instagram.
Yeah, same. It's
Twitter's just becoming a cesspool.
I've never really got on very well with Twitter.
It's either hit or miss on there, I think. It's either
you've got maybe miss.
But the thing is, I can put a picture up on Instagram and you know, if there's a little story to go with it, I sometimes give a bit of background on that sort of thing.
Well, Paul, just a couple of very more quick things before we let you go. Obviously, I'm sure there's plenty of photographers listening to this, maybe wanting to have some advice or any words of wisdom from yourself, or just any little things you can pass on that just as maybe as a creative that has helped you along the way. Is there anything that comes to mind with that? Anything that if you're a photographer now in 2021, I know, COVID hasn't helped, but anything you think could help them along the way?
I kind of always looked at not just photography to get my inspiration. I kind of look at films and the way films are lit and things like that, and sort of even I remember going to the theatre once and seeing some lighting that looked really interesting and trying to think, oh, how have they done that? That looks really cool. So just always be sort of keep your eyes open and look for inspiration everywhere. I think that would be a sort of a creative thing to think about anyway.
Nice. I think you should have gone for for Liam Gallagher's advice, Paul, for when he said, do you have any advice for any upcoming bands? And Liam Gallagher said, yeah, stay the fuck out of my way. So that's it. If you'd gone with that, then people would have been like, oh, I can't go near him. Don't go near Paul. He was very aggressive on the end of something.
Let's do that again then.
All right, cool. Paul, do you have any advice for any upcoming photographers?
Yeah, just stay the fuck out of my way.
There you go, we got it.
There we are. that's the sound bite.
Oh, God, that's so not what I'm like. I could never say
that. No, I know. But that's what's so good about it. That's what I like about it. Fucking brilliant. Class.
With all that, is there anything else we can expect from you coming up? Any shoots you maybe you can tell us about? Anything to look out for?
Not really. It's all a bit kind of... Things are still falling into place, so there's nothing amazing to report at the moment. I did do a shoot with someone very famous yesterday, but I can't speak about that one. But it'll be Tom Cruise. It's a Kerrang cover story soon.
Famous. Right. Who's over here now? Wait, there's somebody over here. Think, who was in the Euros? Who was at the Euros, Morgan? We'll get this now.
Beckham and Cruz.
None of them. Has Tom Cruise started a band? I don't think he has.
It's David Beckham, Tom Cruise, and Ozzy Osbourne together.
Oh, together at last. The three lions. Oh, no, Tom Cruise is American. What was I thinking?
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much, Paul. This has been a real treat. Paul.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
It's been great to have you on. I think a lot of people will find some of this information fantastic. So, hopefully we get to see you soon and do one of these in the flesh, maybe at a festival or a gig or something.
Smash it.
I'd like that. Yes. Lovely. Cheers, Paul. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to Sammy Morgan!
Amazing.
Yes, excellent. I fucking love Paul. Paul has worked with some absolute fucking legends. I've worked with legends. He's worked with legends and he's worked with me, the poor bastard. But yes, what a fucking lineup, from fucking Ozzy to Foo Fighters to fucking Nirvana to Spinal Tap to Slipknot.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking... It's nuts. Definitely go and check out paularies.com. It is a fantastic website with some fantastic photos on it that you should check out.
Yes, and his print shop is available now for you to go and check out. He does giveaways and all that kind of thing from time to time. And if you need some new home decor, as I mentioned, go and check it out, because some of the portraits he have is absolutely beautiful. But we mentioned Slipknot quite a lot in the episode. And just worth mentioning that this was recorded prior to the devastating news this week of the passing of one Joey Jordison, the founding drummer of Slipknot, passing away. Obviously, someone, as you heard, Paul, has a very close relationship with for many years in the early Slipknot days, capturing and just kind of getting that working relationship together. And I'm sure he would have shared many more stories on him with everything that's happened. I know he's done his own post on his social media regarding this, so go and please check that out. And there's a beautiful story on at the time he got to filling on drums for Metallica at Downloads Festival a few years back, on our episode with Andy Copping, the boss of Donington Park, on episode 132. So if you haven't checked that out yet, or you think that takes your fancy, please go back and listen to that. And a really inspirational drummer taken from us.
It's super sad. So sending all our love to Joey's family and friends and Slipknot and Murder Dolls and everybody he was involved with. He fucking changed the landscape. He absolutely changed the landscape of drummers. Every drummer I knew in probably 2004, 2005 would have killed to have spent 5 minutes with Joey Jordison and learned stuff from him. He was absolutely fucking incredible. I was lucky enough once to be invited to a gig in Paris, which was Metallica, Slipknot and Lost Prophets opening.
Wow.
And yeah, it was before they'd all unmasked. So I was in Lost Prophets dressing room and I went on to Jamie from Lost Prophets, and I said, oh, can you do me a favour? Can we stand by the door so we can see if any of Slipknot walk past? Just give me a nudge and be like, that's one of them. Because nobody'd ever seen him without their masks on at that point, I think. Or if we had, it was rare. So Jamie was like, I could do one better than that. Come with me. And we literally walked into Slipknot's dressing room, and he was like, oh, this is Sean. He's a massive fan of you guys.
And then next minute, I'm just sitting in Slipknot's dressing room with all of Slipknot unmasked, just like trying to take photos of my eyes. Like, oh, remember their faces. Like I was some sort of FBI agent, right? I need to remember these faces. And yeah, Joey came over and yeah, he talked to me for like 10 minutes and it was amazing. I was just fucking blown away. I was just, I couldn't believe that he was giving me his time. So yeah, fucking what a loss. What an amazing drummer. Literally changed music. Changed. If you don't think the music you listen to now is somehow, even if it's, I reckon, even if it's fucking pop punk, right? Somehow Joey Jordison has had a fucking, had a hand in how music is shaped at this very moment. So again, not that our fucking stupid little podcast matters, but sending all our fucking love to Joey's family and friends and fucking absolutely fucking devastated. So thank you for the music. And yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it was a testament just to see all the reaction and love pouring out online the night insane. The news
broke. Awesome.
From, and as you said, from all people in different parts of the music industry, loads of different kind of subgenres of bands and all that, just saying how wonderful he was, or just saying how much he influenced them. So it is a great loss, and I'm glad we could get a little bit of insight into the behind the scenes of Slipknot with Paul.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's amazing to see all this outpouring of love for him, but also part of me thinks that if you love a band, tell them today that you love them. People need to know, because there's too many people who are going, and then you're seeing these unbelievable, monumental posts about them, and you're like, well, if they'd seen that a few years ago, maybe, you know, they could have changed their ways, or, like, I'm just referring to anybody now, like, whatever. Appreciate the bands that you like while they're here. Please. Please.
Yes, yes, I totally agree. And do remember to go and pick up a copy of Paul's Slipknot book, Dysfunctional Family Portraits, if you haven't already. There's some great photos of Joey and the whole band from their early days to up until 2015 as well. It's a great read for any Slipknot fan. Yeah, I just really enjoyed getting to do this episode, getting behind the scenes look at other aspects of the music industry. I think it's always special when we get someone as iconic as Paul on. Obviously, the majority of our guests tend to be bands, but we've had people from promoters, journalists, and just having a lot more people like photographers and stuff, I think gives a different insight into all the different jobs and all the very important people that helped the music industry become what it is today. So if there's anyone or any kind of avenues that you think you'd like to hear Sapnin go down, please let us know over on our social media pages at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and we'll do our best to try and have a look and see what we can do.
Yes, and if you could share, rate and subscribe where possible. If you see us posting about this episode this week, please, please share where possible, because like Morgan said, we want different parts of the music industry represented. So whereas Paul does have a following, he might not have a following as big and as rampant as some of the bands we've done. So if you could share, that would mean the absolute fucking world to us. We want this to get out to as many people as possible. So we appreciate every share, like, recommendation, rating, comment. Please, please share where possible. We appreciate it very, very much. And also, if you've listened, if you've got this far, congratulations.
Hey!
But also, check out patreon.com/sapnin, where we've got a Patreon where all the money goes back into trying to make this podcast bigger and better than ever before. So yeah, please check out patreon.com/sapnin.
Yes, and over there, there's loads of extra content from outtakes to bonus podcasts, videos, photos, jokes, the whole lot. And you get to be included in our wonderful secret cult community. And everyone inside there just helps make each other laugh and have a fantastic time. They've been doing monthly Secret Santas. I know we're in the middle of summer, but they're doing monthly Secret Santas now. So they can kind of gift exchange with people. And it's being very funny to see what people have got in each other. And that's a whole great laugh as well. So if you want to get involved, patreon.com/sapnin. You seem very confused there.
No, I'm not confused. No, I was just thinking the other day, I received a message from one Jordan Harris, who's part of our Patreon community. And he is a car salesman, and he's sold a car to one of the other Patreons, right? And he was like, I think you should be getting commission for this. How is people involved in the Patreon making more money from the Patreon, right, than the people who started the Patreon? People who are involved with the Patreon are making more money off the Patreon than us. How make it make sense? I don't get it.
I don't, yeah.
Am I going to have to become a car salesman just to send everyone from our Patreon to come to me to buy a car? What do I need to do?
He sold multiple cars as well. He sold it to one of our members and one of our members' mother.
What? People are making... join our Patreon, right? For as little as fucking £3 a month, right? You could end up getting presents worth hundreds of pounds back from other people. It's mental. We're the only people. But yeah, check out patreon.com/sapnin. We love everybody involved. And as much as that's a funny rant, I don't 100% mean it. Maybe 97% mean it. But 100%, no. We need to thank some of the elite members of our Patreon. If you check out the description that Morgan has written out for this episode, you will already see a multitude of names in the description, but these are the elite members who we have to thank.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Mikey McDonald's McMuffin Buns, Definitely Change Our Mikey, Janelle Castan, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Kelly Young, Dilly Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Scooby Drew Styles, Paul Hirschfield, Liam Connolly, Kelly Irwin, Kat Besant, Sammy G, Amadine Urbano, Shani Meyer Boxel Anderson, Tony Michael, Dot, Captain Hannibal, Amy Campion, Murray Grimwood, Jenny Robson, Johnny Phillip, Mike Cocksmall. Yep. I just literally pronounce it as Mike Cocksmall now. Just to save any it is, yes. My balls are huge. Thanks, Scott Jones. Thank you very much, Tom Owen, Caitlin Richards, Caroline Robinson, Kate Stevenson, Danny Eaton, Jenny Munster, Lucy Diaz, Emily Senegals, John and Emma, Martina McManus, Becky Handy, Louis Cook, Jason Aredia, Marcy Jacobson, Sharif Awadali, Carl Pendlebury, Kelly Cannon, Livy Cropper, Kevin Clark, James McNaught, Stuart McNaught, Lyndia Henderson, Craig, pre-apology to Josh because I'll be a drunken mess at the meetup, Paris. Oh, that's worrying. Thank you very much, Chris Howard, Ollie Amesbury, Josh, why can't pirates finish the alphabet because they get lost at sea?
Chris?
You can't say fuck all, bro. Go back to the beginning of this episode. Thank you very much, Alice Wood, Adam King of the Goths, Parslow, Mark Jones, Amy Chilvers, Reese Bowring, Jacob Turner, Hurricane Katrina, Fanny Flaps Robinson. She's written that and thought that was good. It's there now. Thank you very much, Connor Lewins, Craig Gervin, Keris Andrews, and last but no means least, thank you very, very much to Daniel Stevenson. I think we should maybe put some sort of cap on the mention on the podcast things, because I realise that takes quite a while. That's a lot of names.
It is.
I have to say it every week. So maybe we should cap that. So if you're thinking about getting involved with the Patreon and you want your name read out or me to pronounce something daft, get over to patreon.com/happeningnow. And yes, get involved. Thank you very much to all of those people. We appreciate you very, very much. Also, if you're listening to this and it's Friday, tonight my band Raiders is playing in Liverpool. On the off chance you can get to Liverpool by whatever time you've heard this. We play Liverpool at Shipping Forecast tonight. If you just check out at Raiders Band UK on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, the information will be there. We're playing Shipping Forecast in Liverpool this week. Next Saturday, we're playing Manchester at Night People. So, yes. Thank you very much to Deadbolt for having Raiders and myself to DJ as well. Should be a good time. Please check it out. And that is it. I will stop talking now.
Nice. But yes, do check out Raiders Band, because Sean has a lot of things coming up over the next couple of weekends that you could possibly enjoy. And for any reason, if you want to keep an eye on what I'm doing, head over to MHRichard_ on Twitter and Instagram for some meaningless selfies and other rants about the podcast. We'll be back next week and every Friday with a very special guest. And until then, stay safe, send your love to everyone, and have a good bloody time.
Send your love to everyone.
Yeah, to send it.
What
put
a
it
crap
in,
end.
Put send it in
your,
envelope.
You, listener, listen to this. Send your love to everyone.
Put it in an envelope and just put it in everyone's doors. I don't know. I've just words.
Look. Yeah, we've been rambling for too long now. We're getting silly.
Okay.
Thank you very much, everybody listening. See you next week. Stay positive where you can. Keep your head up. Keep your tongue out. Don't be sick. Please never die. Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.